I don't know about you, but I love action movies. The more car wrecks, the more gunshots, the better. Cars flipping and impossible things happening. I love action movies. Sue doesn't, so I tend to watch them when she's not around. But in a lot of action movies, there's a scene that has become so common that it's almost a cliche now. And it usually takes place near the end of the movie. The good guys have finally caught up with the bad guys, who are, of course, holed up in their hideout in a large, rusty, abandoned warehouse somewhere on the outskirts of town. And they're either working out the final details of their diabolical plan, or they are deciding what to do with the captives that they no longer have any use for, or they're doing both. But as they scheme away, they are completely unaware that the heroes of our tale have made their appearance just outside. Now, the heroes make sure they're in the right place, and once they've confirmed that, then they make the plan. Now, there can be any number of characters in this plan. There can be the reluctant hero, or the funny hero, the serious hero, and finally, in most of the movies I'm talking about, there's always the cool hero. The one who always knows just what to do, even if he doesn't think he knows just what to do. Mostly I'm thinking of Bruce Willis in the Die Hard movies. So the good guys take their place. They're either hidden behind a stack of pallets or they're against the wall, and someone will ask, "What's the plan?" And Bruce Willis, the cool hero, will say something like this: "I'll go around back and you come in from the front, but don't make a move until I give you the signal." And someone always has to ask, "But what's the signal?" And the hero's answer is always, "Don't worry, you'll know it when you see it." Then he disappears around the side of the building and the group waits, and suddenly something blows up or a truck comes smashing through the side of the building and everyone knows that is the signal. And they all go into action. There is no doubt, no hesitation. The signal is so clear that there can be no doubt. And I think these scenes are popular in movies because they are, well, they're funny and exciting, but they also have a certain clarity to them that we find comforting. We don't know, as the person watching the movie, what signal will be, but we all know that we will recognize it with undeniable clarity when it finally happens. Unfortunately, life is almost never that clear. We await signs that will give us affirmation or clarity as to what we should do with our lives. And I think that in the life of every believer, there comes a moment, and probably not just one, but a whole series of them, and it is the moment of question, maybe even, dare I say it, doubt. We have been living our lives as faithfully as we can. We aren't perfect, but we strive to be faithful, and we are on the lookout for God at work and in our lives. We just want a sign, a nice, clear, obvious signal of God's approval, something that is unmistakable to let us know we're on the right path. But instead of winning the lottery or getting a promotion or some other blessing that we have been seeking, the wheels come off the bus. We are stunned to discover that we've been laid off from our job, or our child has cancer, house burns down, or the floodwaters take everything we own, or any other number of calamities that happen to people every day, and our life is suddenly filled with a looming darkness and uncertainty. Now, I have a one-word response that I use frequently, and that word is really. I normally say it when life or a friend suddenly foists upon me some turn of events that seems woefully unfair given all the hardship that I've already had to bear. I use it when I've already had a lousy day, and then I go to a meeting only to find out the meeting was canceled and no one let me know. Really? I use it on Sue when I have had a long day at work, followed by bad news from a friend, and then play rehearsal, and I walk in the front door and she asks me, "Honey, would you mind emptying the dishwasher and taking out the trash?" Really? Now, the question isn't meant to be disrespectful, at least that's what I tell myself. It is intended to ask, in the midst of all I have going on, is that really what you want me to do? Is that really your intended plan? Well, I think John the Baptist had just such a moment, one of those particular moments. You have to understand the setting. You heard in Isaiah the talk of this triumphant, overwhelming coming of this new Messiah and the world changing. And here they are in Israel, occupied by Roman forces, and the belief is that the Messiah will be a conqueror. It's not that long ago that John declared Jesus, the one. He said, here he is, this is him. But now he's in prison. He knows that God has set a plan in motion, and he knows his place in that plan. I think he understands it clearly, but because his role is to prepare the way of the Lord. He's to be the voice in the wilderness, preaching and baptizing and preparing the world for someone who is coming, someone who will bring about the reign of God. Now, I think John must have worked very hard, especially since I think he understood God's plan. I imagine his preaching and baptizing were maintained at an almost frenzied pace right up until he was arrested and finds himself sitting alone in prison, lost, alone, confused, frustrated, because suddenly nothing makes sense. I mean, he's looking for that big, unmistakable signal that the one who is coming is going to show, but he hasn't seen it. Instead, he sees a man. That's all. A man named Jesus. He sees him teaching and preaching, but the world is not transforming in quite the way John expected it to. So he asks the question. And I am sure that John must have asked God that question in prayer over and over again while he sat there in prison, praying for God to give him a clear and understandable signal. But somewhere along the way, he seems to kind of lose heart. And so he sends his disciples to Jesus and he says, ask him this, really? Is this really the plan? Is this it? Are you the one? Really? Are you the one I've been looking for? I don't get it. And what is interesting to me here is Jesus' response. He just says to look at the signs. Look for the signal. John seems to have thought that the signs would be much easier to read when the time finally came. They would be like a truck breaking through the wall. But Jesus' answer points not to world-transforming occurrences, but instead to very small events. Oh, they are miraculous indeed, but they're little on individual levels. He's not overthrowing governments or nations or populations. He's just meeting people. Someone who was blind can now see. Someone else who was lame can now walk. Another person who was deaf can now hear. Someone had the good news brought to them and now feels hope. In other words, he says to John, signs are there if you will just look. Now, later on in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus will say that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say, move to a mountain, and it will move. And this is a powerful and well-known piece of scripture, but the mountains are still there. So I think that maybe we might be reading it wrong. Because we want to believe, as people, that God's faithfulness is found in the moving of mountains. But I am not so sure. It seems to me that God's faithfulness is almost always found in something that the world sees as inconsequential. like a mustard seed. Perhaps the little things are more powerful than moving a mountain, requiring a faith that believes we change the world one person at a time. So we prepare ourselves this season of Advent for the arrival of the ultimate mustard seed, a small event in some backwater town in Israel, the birth of a child in a manger, in a barn, in the middle of nowhere. And it's just one more birth that night, by the way. I am sure that there were many births that night. And I am also sure that there were many places along the road to Bethlehem where Mary and Joseph both wanted to say, "Really?" But when life is dark, and when we are lost, and when we turn to God and ask, "Really?" In those moments, I say, be very alert. Be aware. Look around. You are not alone. Mountains may not be moving, but God is. And God is there for you. There in your life, providing just the manger that you need. And even a mustard seed could see it. Amen.